Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about everything from Season 14, Episode 13? Yes, we are at Episode 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race US. So, look, we had one queen eliminated in March. We get two queens eliminated in April thus far, and we will break everything down from the comedy or maybe lack thereof of it all from this episode. So first, let me welcome in our wonderful panel here with us today. As always, we have the fabulous Amon Atwin. Amon, how are you?
13 episodes strong, baby. We out here.
We are. We still alive.
Mm-hmm. Still kicking.
All right. Well, and another woman who is fabulously still alive is Beth Dixon, I think.
There was a question as to whether or not I'd make it through, but here we are. No. That statistic, two have gone, it only took one day of April.
Yes.
Literally the first day of April that surpassed 31 days of March of how many queens went home. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we're out here breaking records. I know it was pre-recorded, but it definitely felt like a retaliation. Rue was like, I hear you. I will eliminate two queens this week. It's obviously not completely like it all happened in the past. Right? So, you know.
What if on April Fools?
On April Fools. Yeah. Oh, no. What do you think they're coming back?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry.
Oh. If they come back, I swear to God. I love Deja and Georges. I love them. I will support you on the road with bills and the fun stuff. But please do not grace my television screen. I'm begging you.
Yeah, it's don't you want to get off the show so you can come out here and make some money? Don't you want to leave?
Apparently, I didn't watch the Whatcha Packin', but apparently Deja said she only had her finale look left. So maybe it was a good time for her to go.
Time. It's time, baby.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I don't think any of us predicted there would have been that many episodes. So I just think she planned the same way that we did, right?
I'm wondering if the producers were like, all right, who has outfits left? Okay. All right. Deja. We're going to have to get rid of Deja and Georges. They only have the one outfit left.
That's right. Time to go. All right. Well, look, we had a lot happen in this episode. We had a lot of storylines. We had Bosco go from almost being eliminated, if not for a golden chocolate bar last week, to winning the comedy challenge this week, which was the main challenge. And then we had a bottom three with two queens eliminated, as we've been talking about. So, Amon, I just want to get your overall takes on everything that happened in this week's episode.
I mean, I felt like it was kind of standard in terms of like the talent for the roast. There were definitely people that did better than others. I don't necessarily know if anybody really stepped forward ahead of the pack too much for me. I guess I can agree with who ended up in the bottom, of course. Mm-hmm. As far as one of them goes in Deja, it does seem to be a very weird finale for her, like weird, you know, closing to her stint on the show. Yeah. It does feel like she sort of got cut short, but she's not the only one this season. So I guess it's par of the course. But there have definitely been better roasts on the show for sure.
Okay,
I think this is the worst roast that we've had. I think we learned with Snatch Game that the comedy improv-like thing is just not this group of queens' forte. Mm-hmm. But I also, I got thinking about it, and weirdly, I think Ross is really hard to roast, as I was thinking. Because I was like, yeah, you can, there's a lot you could say like about Michelle, which is, and nobody except for like one queen said anything about Dulce. And I was just like, this is so weird. Normally, whoever the guest is somebody who like they also like get it. Like when it was Tamar Braxton, like people went after her too. But it just like was one of those. It just felt weird. I don't know. It just felt like it was a weird panel. And I think the roasts are even harder when you don't have a full audience there and it's just the panel and the queens. I don't know. I just think that there was a lot maybe working against the queens. This isn't the first time a roast didn't have a full audience, but I don't know. I just think that it was rough to watch at times. Mm.
A lot of dead space.
Yeah. Well, the main challenge this week was the comedy roast of the Ross Matthews, like specifically the roast of Ross Matthews here. And we got the kind of standard, the queens got roasted a little bit, like a joke about Michelle, a joke about Rue. And then, yeah, the jokes about Ross. So I didn't think it was inherently that bad. I think we've definitely seen better on the show before, but it did feel a little bit repetitive. And part of me doesn't even want to fault the queens for that, because when you have queens literally every season having to roast Michelle and roast Rue and roast Ross sometimes, it's going to be the same jokes. You're going to start seeing the same thing over and over and over again, because like those are the points that people want to pick on. So you get whether it be, Michelle's a whore. Oh, you know, Michelle's plastic surgery. Rue is old, right? So there were elements that I thought were new, but just because it's the same people being roasted over and over, like it does, you know, get repetitive. I thought where the queens were the best was when they were roasting each other, but also the worst when they were roasting each other, depending on who jokes we're talking about.
It's such an interesting thing. I feel like there was a part of me that was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool if maybe one season they were assigned each of them had to roast another queen. But then I'm like, well, they kind of have the reading challenge already. And then this is like an additional reading challenge on top of stuff. So it's just like a weird thing. Like, I don't know if it needs to come back, the roast, or if it does, it needs to be very different, or they need to have someone who's like very roastable. Like did Lady Bunny already have a roast? Did they do one for her on the show?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. I was trying to remember where, but I mean, just like really roastable people. Bring back some of the former winners. And like when they did Miss Congenialities last year, that was great. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. But I don't know, like, there's not many more jokes you can say about the panel, to your point, Liana. And there's not really, like, how do you roast Ross other than saying that he's and the one thing that I don't like is like all the things get down to like there's like inherent misogyny in some of this, but it's like, isn't it, he's a woman, isn't that horrible? like those things, and I'm like I don't know, it's just I just wish that they could didn't have to roast the panel, like they could roast just the people on this, like maybe their assignment is you have to roast the queens and whoever the guest is and that's it.
You really are in a rough space because you can't do the queens because that's just another reading challenge. Which, so I mean, the nice happy medium to that would be just bring back other people, bring totally roastable celebrities that wouldn't mind getting ragged on for 30 minutes on national television by men in dresses and well, not just strictly men in dresses because, you know, trans people as well, but queer folk. Like, anyway,
bring on
Pete
Davidson, you know?
Exactly. Bring on, like, you know, celebrities that'll be totally be game just being made fun of. Because there's already such a market for that. Celebrities get roasted all the time. And so I'm sure that you could probably find a few people that wouldn't mind that, because the jokes are already repetitive as it is when it comes to RuPaul and Michelle, because it's not like, and it's no shade to the both of them. They're both great. But what else is there to talk about when it comes to RuPaul and Michelle? Like, all they really do is Drag Race. Like, you're the ammo, and like all of the things that you can say about them have all of them have already been said, and that goes for pretty much everybody that you bring onto this panel. It's you know, roast Todrick's ass. How about that?
Oh my
bring
god!
Bring his ass back. And get his ass roasted. Okay,
wait. I see that. The BB fandom is here for that assignment.
Wait, did you guys see? Okay, so did you guys see the lawsuit that Todrick's involved in?
With him not paying his rent? Yeah,
with him not paying his rent in the house that he supposedly owns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we been knew he rent that.
Well,
I fell for y'all. I fell for the hype. I thought he bought that. I would never believe YouTubers again.
It all makes sense now in retrospect. Like, the person who has paper towels on their like Amazon wish list or whatever probably doesn't own this mansion. Mm-hmm. But there was a Bianca Del Rio tweet from almost a year ago, where she alluded to the fact that there's someone with a rented house acting like she owns it. And the hint there is that is some Disney fuckery. I assume the assumption now, knowing, is like that it alludes to Todrick, because the whole like you know, Disney videos and stuff that he's done and all of that. So that was from June 2021, if that's the case.
And that's when he released the video, right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's when he dropped that whole "I just bought my dream home" thing. Let me just look it up real quick. Let me
yeah. get these receipts. Isn't that dramas?
I'm here for this.
Yeah, I was like, I saw it on the subreddit and I like sent it to Puya immediately. I was like, oh my God.
Yep. 1 year ago.
Yeah.
February 1st, 2021.
Okay. So the timelines could add up.
I like this conspiracy and I'm here for this.
All right. So the only time I will accept Todrick being back on the show is for a roast.
Hi, we're here to read you for filth. I don't think his PR and his management would like that very much. Oh,
God.
Girl. But yeah, I mean, this might be just one of those challenges that you just don't need to bring back every season. Mm-hmm. Like, roasts are fun, they're cool. But maybe once every two seasons or once every three seasons, or when you get a celebrity that is completely game to take part in it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these jokes, not only are they repetitive, but some of them, unless you're like really, really hardcore fan of RuPaul or Michelle or any of these judges, then you're not really going to know. So it's like, it's just not enough.
I just also like they used to just do stand-up challenges, and I'm fine with a stand-up challenge. Like, tell us about your life and stuff. Those are where you've had some of the most breakout people in the past, right? You had Trinity K. Bonet, and I mean, the roast when it first started, you had Coco Montrese really come out of her shell for that when they were roasting RuPaul. And I just, the roast has now, like you guys have said, and we've said, and now we're just beating a dead horse. It's just, it's like really repetitive, but I like the stand-up aspect that there's something that you have to write and bring out and be funny. There's still an aspect to that that could really come every single season, and that's fine because you're getting to know the queens better. This isn't really a challenge where you get to know the queens other than how they can artfully craft a roast. But if they have to artfully craft a stand-up routine, then I feel like Willow's comedy would have come out a little bit more, right? If it's stand-up versus just a roast. Mm-hmm. And I think that Angeria could have carried some of that comedy that she had and talked a little. I just want to know so much more about Angeria's background. She's somebody that I just like, I can't wait for her to like express through comedy or through something like where she comes from and what her story is. Right. And so I kind of feel like when you have a great cast, like we do, those kind of challenges rely on your cast a little bit. We say the same thing for Big Brother, like, or Survivor. Rely on your cast. If you do have good casting, then you don't need crazy twists. I think that you can simplify this challenge. Just make a stand up.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where also the storytelling humor can come into play. It almost gives queens a choice of whether or not they want to do more like rapid fire jokes or if they want to do a sort of storytelling element, which I think is always really fun. I think there's a lot of ways that you can test this skill of joke writing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that necessarily a roast is the only way to do it. And it just really it really confines them with what they can and can't talk about. So I would almost have it, I would prefer it to be more open-ended, more sandbox in terms of what they can, you know, can make fun of. And that doesn't even necessarily mean like a stand-up challenge. If you want them to write jokes, you could do something like, I don't know if you guys have seen, I see it on TikTok all the time, but it's where people are telling each other jokes and they can't laugh. And they just tell jokes to each other. I don't know. Yeah. But what if they did something like that where they'd like tell jokes to each other? So they still have to tell jokes. And then it's like, you know, a little tournament competition style. Inherently. Yeah. Or something. I don't know. I think there's a lot of different ways to test it. And I think that what we just say, season 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race, plus all the All-Star seasons, plus all the international seasons, like it does start to get repetitive. And I think where you're looking for something new and fresh in terms of the structure of the challenges. But
right.
Let's get into some specifics, I think, with how the queens performed.
Before we get to that.
Yeah.
I loved this mini challenge. Can we discuss
it? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that sets the order, too. So the, what was it called? Just the painting of the Rue mural, right? Garden mural.
Mm-hmm. But like using the giant Norvina palette as like actual paint. I don't know. I just loved this so much. I actually thought they did a really good job with the murals. And it shows you that like the makeup work that they do can translate to like fine art as well.
Yeah.
I thought, I don't know. I just thought it was a really fun, kind of cool challenge. But there was a part of me that was like, how much of this did they actually paint and how much of it was done beforehand? Like, you know what I mean? But I think that they painted it.
I think they did, because you can see in the background, you can see the white outline. So it's a little bit paint by numbers, but without the numbers, like the outline was there. And so they just kind of had to like fill in, and they, but they added the depth, right, in the perception, as we saw with Deja's nose, which, by the way,
I like the nose.
Well, it wasn't until the zoom out where it was the whole thing, because then it was where you saw it in contrast with the way that they had done Dolly's nose. And it was who is it? I think Bosco described it as if a hot dog had a butt.
It was so good. And I love the shot of Georges with like that huge paint. She's so tiny and she's like trying to like, I mean, I thought this was really fun. I thought it was cute and I thought it was really unique. We haven't seen something like this before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen them do, I think they had to like paint themselves and make something on the ground. Like, why do I remember that?
So that was season six, I think.
Big painting challenge, but nothing like this. And that was really fun and really cool. I do think it on a more serious note is worth pointing out. So not Norvina herself. So she's the president of Anastasia Beverly Hills, but the CEO, Anastasia Soiree, I think is Soar. I don't know how you say her last name. Anyway, she's a CEO and she has, it came across, I saw it, that she is like pro Putin, pro far rights interests, based on her social media posting. There's a whole social media post on Reddit that like goes over all of the comments that she's made and posts and stuff like that. So, you know, if you don't want to support, you know, those types of things, just to keep in mind. Yeah. So a little awkward. And obviously this stuff came out like after they had recorded the episode. So I don't know what's going to happen with their relationship with ABH moving forward. But
I mean, it's WoW. So we'll see.
Exactly. Not exactly going to shy away from controversy. So we'll see. But yeah. Okay. I mean, again, overall, love the challenge. Thought it was super fun. And it got us to the, I definitely not drama. I can't call it drama after the Moulin Rouge of it all from last week. Mm-hmm. But this gave us, last week. But this gave us the setting of the order sort of challenge, I guess. So Team Dolly, who was Diabetti, Bosco, Lady Camden, and Willow, were given the opportunity to set the order. And it was, I would say, relatively uneventful. They gave everyone what they wanted.
I thought it would be more eventful, not only because I didn't think that people would walk away sort of relatively satisfied with what they got, but because there would be four people deciding what the order would be as opposed to one person. I thought there would be a lot more contention there, but
yeah,
it seems like the more and more that this show goes on, the more and more queens are like, look, I want everybody to be as happy as possible because I don't want anybody to say it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. Like, everybody is just like politics. Like, everybody just wants to play real nice with all of these decisions. So.
I love that.
I mean, it's not like the queens are going to be able to, like, you know, come back and like, it's not Big Brother where they can come back and like exact revenge on you for giving them a bad spot. Like, if they go home, then they go home. So, hey, I wouldn't be as nice, but whatever.
It almost felt like it was because Bosco shot herself in the foot and then they used that against her. That was like, you wanted this role so bad, so you should have done better. So they're just like, I don't know. But Lady Camden opening the discussion with, I have to have Saltine. I just thought it was really funny. It was good. She's really growing on me. I'm like becoming a very big Lady Camden fan.
Me too. I really, really enjoy her. And I think after this episode, and I think we'll probably get into this more, I think I have a more solid idea of who the top four will end up being. But
well, I mean, we're now down to the top one more. Five. Yeah, which is shocking.
I know.
Let's talk about the tops for this week. So from what I gathered from the judges' critiques, it felt like Bosco, Camden were definitely in the top, and then probably Willow and maybe Angie, but Angie was maybe more like safe, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you feel like Bosco was the right winner here?
In terms of the challenge, yeah. She didn't have anything that seemed to kind of falter or fail, and her runway was unique. And so I think, I think that she deserved it. Camden, was good. And I think she had my favorite runway outfit of the week, but she did kind of like have that one joke that was like, okay, this is going on for a while and it's not the funniest, but it's okay.
The echo joke.
Yeah.
I sort of have like a small theory that like they gave the win to Bosco in the panelist challenge because of like her wit, just to be like a bit of a prelude to her winning this one. And to set up like more of a drastic fall for Deja Sky. Because while I think that Bosco did a good job, I'm still like, I don't know if it like really blew me out of the water so much other than some of these other girls that were also sort of like on the same like sort of like wavelength. So it just made me feel like that win last time was even more unjustified and they should have just gave it to Deja. But you can't have Deja have two wins because then when you want to send her home, it'll look extra weird. So I don't know. It just made me feel a little, I was like, this is strange. I feel like you guys were like buttering us up so that we'd be Team Bosco by the time it was time for her to get this win. And I'm like, she was fine, but I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was justifiable. I thought her runway was such a cool concept of merging the two. So as gorgeous as Lady Camden looked, I just felt like Bosco's concept of using the saw blades as the tutu of her cut in half was just like crazy cool, very creative. So I don't know, it was really tough because I felt like it's two very different aesthetics and two very different concepts between Bosco and Lady Camden coming together. So it was really tough for me to decide. I thought Bosco improved a lot, and so maybe that's why it felt okay with giving her the win, because it felt like when she came in with, you know, her original jokes, she was able to take that feedback, take that criticism, and really craft it into something that worked so well. You know, the told to go home jokes, I thought, like, worked out really well. She had a series of them, and I thought that was really funny. Read everybody, and then the self-read of, if you hated my corsets, you'll love her swimsuits. Georges is up next.
There was, I really think that Bosco had the best like concept for the runway. I thought it was great execution too. I just liked Camden's outfit better because a lot of it had to come down to the applique that she had on her skin as well as on like her dresses and such. I just thought that was absolutely stunning. But when it came to the comedy, I think she had the most solid set and was consistent all the way across. In the fact that she opened the show.
But did she roast Ross the most?
She only had a... Well, here's the thing. Nobody roasted Ross. Like, that's the point. Like each person only had like one, maybe two jokes about him. And nobody, in my opinion, like nobody had their best joke about Ross. Their best joke was about everybody else besides him, which is, again, to my theory, Ross is not the kind of person that you make the bet at these jokes when... He's not really, like, nobody even mentioned him being like an intern, like Ross the intern.
I was waiting for the Celebrity Big Brother joke. Like, I know that that's the fandom and
yeah.
knowing, but I was like, roast him for not winning Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah. There was a, I feel like either these queens just don't watch Big Brother or they just cut them out in the edit because it just didn't make any sense that that never came up at all.
Did that feel short also? Or they am I just making...
No, it felt short. And it was clear they did a lot of editing. Also, wait, I have to talk about this. Did you all catch... Whoever did the sound editing for Di of Betty's runway needs to be fired.
No, she's what happened?
Like, and my crown is made out of paper. And it's also... Blah, 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 blah. It's so... messed up.
Oh, is it like all cut together?
It definitely is spliced and it makes no sense at all.
Oh, I'll have to go back and watch. You didn't catch that.
So funny. Please, y'all, go back and watch it. I watched her runway about four times just because it was so funny to hear how awful the sound editing was for it.
I think it's also if this kind of challenge also suffers from the fact that, you know, there's no audience. So a lot of the time we get to see a little audience in there, they haha, they kiki with the audience. We get to see the reaction shots and all of that. But now it's literally just the queens and the judges, and I feel like it makes it feel just a little bit more dead in the room. Which is why maybe that's why RuPaul laughs a lot more, because RuPaul just laughs at everything. Everything. It doesn't matter who it is, even if it's a bad joke, he laughs at, he even admits to it in this episode. He's like, I laughed at everything. Like, so
Deja stuck to her word of, I'm gonna laugh at everything, even if it's not funny, and I expect the same from my sisters. Hey,
I believe in gracious laughter as well. Like, so I probably would have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. I went to a when I was in college, I was part of the theater troupe, and you know, the roles were sort of divvied up. We did maybe like 3 or 4 productions this school year. And so you wouldn't always be in every single play. And there was this one super, super small intimate play that only 4 of the people out of the entire theater program were a part of. And I went and saw it 3 times because the ticket sales were like not crazy. But the show was actually really, really good. And it was so funny. And I would go there and I would laugh at every damn joke. And they'd be like, Amon, thank you so much for coming so many times, because we just feel like no one was laughing. Like, it was funny, guys. You guys did a good job. And I'm not just saying that. It was really funny. So be gracious with your laughter, folks. It really helps performers.
Yes. And sometimes that's all you kind of need, is like that start energy to get going. And then it can like lead, you know, you just start laughing, then you're laughing, mm-hmm. you're having a good time, and you're just enjoying yourself. And, you know, maybe the jokes like aren't that amazing. And that was kind of how I felt about this, honestly. Like, I know mm-hmm. we're talking about how repetitive it was, but I did laugh. Like, even Georgia's joke, speaking of RuPaul laughing, was when Georgia said, you know, it started out, I was the one in diapers watching RuPaul, and now you're the one in diapers watching me. And Ru's laughing. And it's true. You know, I don't know. It's amusing. It's silly. It's stupid. It's not the pinnacle of comedy, but you know, and it entertained me for the 12 minutes. Oh my God,
Georgia's man.
Oh, yeah, Mon. So, RIP your team, your draft team.
I wasn't even going to go there, but now I'll be.
Can we have a moment for Amon's draft team?
A moment of silence.
It was just so, I'm like, my last member went out. It's like so inconsequentially, too. Just like, oh, see you, Deja. See you, George. Just get out of here. Like, it's just like, damn.
This guy, I literally was like, I just lost my first person. Oh, wait. Sorry, Amon.
Just rude. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. But yeah, she was really hearkening back to like pheromone during her her roasting, like the pregnant pauses, the pulling at the hair, the.
But it wasn't just the pulling of the hair. I like that she did almost like a Miley Cyrus tongue to the corner of the mouth, and she was like, so good. That actually made me laugh more, and I wasn't laughing at her. I was just like, oh, it's so awkward, I have to laugh.
Oh, it's so bad. Oh my God. It just brings back so many memories of like being on stage and either forgetting a line or just like, oh, like just the secondhand anxiety I got from watching. Just never, oh, never fails.
I felt like because I went in with so low expectations for Georges, like so low, the bottom of the floor, barely an ant could fit underneath my expectations for Georges. The fact that she actually had some jokes, I was like, okay, it's not really fair to have these different expectations, but like, I was like, okay, I'm kind of impressed with you.
She That's kept so up bad. The energy, and I appreciated that, because she really, I mean, it's hard. Like, I get on this podcast all the time and talk about how like comedy and improv and all that stuff, it's really, really hard. Like, some people are just naturally gifted with wit. It just comes to them. But if you're not that way, it takes a lot of like time and practice and skill to come up with all this stuff, like off the cuff. And she knew that about herself, and she was so down herself. I just can't get it. I don't think this is going to work. She was already preparing to just have to lip sync. So the fact that she came out there and she still gave it to you, and she performed, and she, you know, the jokes might not have been there, but she performed as if they were funny as hell. So, you know, props to her. It wasn't good, but you did what you could, girl. And I appreciate that. I guess as long as you have some fight left in you, that's all I really need.
Listen, at the end of the day, it's all about vulnerability, right? This is one of the most vulnerable challenges that you could do, which is, okay, let's put a spotlight on you and everyone now make us laugh. Dance, monkey, dance kind of thing. And we saw how defeated she was. We knew that there wasn't a chance in hell she was going to be able to redeem that kind of energy that she was giving herself. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, Amon. I was really proud of the way that she stuck with it. What she didn't have was Angeria's sense of confidence of like, because Angeria, like, yeah, her jokes maybe were a little funnier, but they weren't amazing. But it was the way that she told them and moved on as if they were funny and kept the tempo and the timing and the confidence about it. And that's the difference between Angeria and Diabetti and Georges. And Deja had that confidence. She just didn't have a single joke that landed. And if anything, the reverse for me was I had low expectations for Georges and she exceeded them a little bit. I had high expectations for Deja and she did not meet them. And I felt really bad about that. But I, what a challenge.
I definitely think, Beth, you're tapping into a few other important points, which is the fact that Angie, even Bosco said she doesn't really have the punchlines, but she's delivering funny. And
she's as if she had them.
Yeah, this like fake it till you make it attitude, which I feel like she's definitely had throughout sort of the whole competition of just going to power through it all. And I think that's one of the reasons why she's been able to be so successful.
Yeah, she's just like congenial. It's sort of like what Dulce was saying during the critique is probably one of the better things that she could have said, because a lot of times when it comes to this stuff, it's like, why is Michelle the one that is the coach for a comedy challenge? Like, yes, Michelle knows what's funny, but Michelle is not a comedian. So like, I feel like, I mean, I understand that she needs to be there to be sort of like the anchor and like the liaison between RuPaul and everything. I get it, but it's just like, come on. But most of the time, like a lot of these critiques that we see that get aired are like, that wasn't funny. Just be funny. That's all you gotta do. Just be funny. It's like,
yeah, just go write more jokes.
Also, Michelle Foley was like, say that his asshole has a lisp. You mean the read that Bianca Del Rio said in season 6 about Jocelyn Fox?
Exactly.
So you're not even coming up with anything original, Michelle.
And I'm pretty sure I've heard the Hysteria Candy is prep. I feel like I've heard that somewhere or on Twitter somewhere. I feel like I've definitely heard that before. So it's like, I liked what Dulce said in that. You know, like, how do you, like, when you're with your friends, are you able to make your friends laugh? And George is like, yeah. She's like, well, then you need, that's what you need to do right here. Like, just imagine as if you were in that safe space with the people that you don't have to like impress and tap into that. And I think that that sort of like resonates, because there are a lot of times like when we're just out with our friends and we say something off the cuff and it just makes people laugh. That's comedy there. You just have to find out a way to bring that to any type of situation. I think with Rangeria is strong in that she's just one of those people that she can be friendly. She can have that sort of vibe with anybody. So it's just whatever comes out of her mouth is going to be funny, because she just is able to be relaxed. And I feel like Georges is just so in her head about it, because she knows that she's not like, that's like not what she brings forward. Like, humor isn't like her main go-to. It's just like a small piece of her that's there. It's just not pronounced. So I think that we all have that within us. We just have to find a way to bring it out when it really matters. And it's hard.
I wish that she had pulled a La Ganja and came out and went, everybody put your lighters up. Ow.
That was funny. I don't give a shit what anybody
says. That's my favorite comedy thing that has ever happened.
Hilarious.
That's what I kind of wish, that she had bombed so well that it was like iconic, like sort of like your vagina. Like, I mean,
like your vagina.
Dry is your vagina.
That's the best thing that's ever happened in a comedy / roast challenge. And I will not take any other answer for that.
It is certainly memorable and it is certainly iconic. Like, that cannot be argued with. It's kind of one of those things, like, if you're not going to be amazing, be iconic in some way.
I don't know. If you're like, you know, I wish she would have came out and just actually lit a blunt on the stage and been like, what are you going to do? Not air it? Okay. Like,
we're just in the house.
Put your lighters up.
And that was the one they did it in front of the old folks. Yeah, home, right?
That's why it was so
dry. Kind of like your vagina.
She looked dead in the face of an old woman and said that. I mean, it was amazing.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's great. Okay.
And
all right.
The guy who, like, And that challenge, the guy who heckled Bette de la Creme was Jinx's person that she made over the season before. He came back and heckled the crap. It's so good. Oh,
man. The through lines, the storylines. It's just, it's amazing. I want to talk a little bit about Diabetti because, you know, she also ends up in the bottom here, but does save herself, which we'll talk about the lip sync in a bit. And I just, as soon as she started talking about how nervous she was, I was like, shut up. Stop talking. Don't say that. And then, you know, we had talked in the, I can't remember who they had said it to, but essentially the economy of words. You want to be succinct. And she just kept talking. I was like, because you did well. I mean, she did well in the walkthrough. It just felt like when she got on stage, I think she was, because she was nervous, she started word vomiting. And that took a long time to get to the punchlines.
Yeah.
What is it? Brevity is the heart of wit. Mm-hmm. You just got to get it out.
Brings levity.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which is why I can never be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true, though. Like, if you get to the point, like, people don't want to work. People like that quick stuff. You can see that kind of stuff on, like, something like Twitter, too. The most viral tweets are always one-liners. They're always, like, because if you just see it, you're like, ah, that's funny. And you hit like. It's like, that's it. So you just get straight to it and just be funny. Be funny.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is because I felt like her jokes were funny. They were just buried.
Took a lot of narrative.
Yes.
And it's like, there is a brand of comedy that's like that. Like, there are some, like, really talented comedians. Like, there, it's long form comedy. So it's like, just, they just tell stories. And it's like, well, one liner is put in there, but then part of the humor is that it is an ongoing story and it just never ends. It's like, every time you think it's going to end, it doesn't. Like, I saw a comedy show this one time, and this lady was, she was gifted, because it was the longest drawn out story, but everything was funny. And even, like, after she ended the story, she was like, okay, you guys are ready for me to go, right? Well, and then she'd be like, she would say, like, well, as if she was going to end, and then she'd, like, do the one of these things where she'd just go, she'd try to grab the mic, but then she'd go down, like, just stretching, just saying, we're going to go back into the story. It was just, like, the most hilarious thing. So, Daya, you
I'm
can
so
do
happy
that.
You but... found me so funny, Amon.
No. It was so funny. I forget her name. She was really good. She's got some Instagram stuff, too. But yeah.
Oh, my God. I agree. I think that, but in a roast, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
But that's why I do think, like, a stand-up comedian challenge, because then you could have that. Because, like Willow was saying, like, Willow, I think, really could have been in the top of this episode if she'd been able to do a stand-up routine rather than a roast. Because I think that she has such a unique wit and sense of humor that comes from a kind of absurdist place that requires more setup or requires a delivery that is not in a roast style. But I don't think the Willow did that badly. And I think that Daya would have done much better. I also think Daya would have done much better if she'd gone earlier in the program. I think she saw everybody else bomb and then was like, I'm going to bomb. I think it was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I was kind of interested about, like, why she was so adamant about going forth. I was like, you realize that just because, like, first and last have narratives of, like, being, like, and you know, for good reason, like, it is contentious to go first or last. But you also run the risk of just getting lost in the mix.
Yeah.
That's happened as well. Like, people, they're just forgettable. So it's like, were you just, like, determined to be safe? Or, like, were you trying to hide? Because at the end of the day, there's still only 7 of you. Like, it's, you got to stand out still. So I was just shocked that she was so, like, I'm going 5th. Like, I'm not, no questions asked. I was like, okay, girl.
And that was kind of Lady Camden's thought, was like, do I move towards the uncomfortable of something that, you know, theoretically is a risk, but I will stand out versus trying to hide and fade in the background? And I think that she absolutely made the correct call, because even though, you know, maybe it wasn't the best, at least according to the judges, like, they didn't like the echo joke in Ross's asshole. I would, but
like, if I was trying to follow Daya's logic, I would just go 2nd, because then at least you're not opening. But if the first one is bad, you kind of swoop right in. And even if the first one is good, if yours is good, then you sort of just push the show along, and then you're not lost in the sauce. So,
well,
yeah, go 2nd.
they're primed to laugh. Like when people start laughing, they want to keep laughing. And right. So if people are laughing from the first set, like you usually get a couple gimmies of those first couple jokes you tell because mm-hmm. people are still laughing from the previous set because right. they're still like right. having fun. So I think you kind of want to take that on.
I think you want to go after the person that you think makes the most sense for you to go after. Yeah, it has true. Nothing to do with where in the order. It has everything to do with who makes the more sense. So for someone like Willow was like, I want to be the person that gets them laughing again because I have a sense of humor that's different from everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go after Georges. But and I think that there's some people who would have benefited. Like I think Daya, like to your point, I think she would have benefited by going after Bosco because she and Bosco have a similar sense of humor. And I think that would have helped her get the jokes out a little bit more. Not to mention, there's some of us who volunteer to go first all the time. I'm one of those people. Like if you have to do a presentation in class, I'm like, let me just shut up and get it over with. And then I don't have to worry about it. I can sit back and relax for the rest of the like class. Mm-hmm. I'm that bitch. And I think that it works so much better for someone like Daya, who clearly is a me kind of person, if she had gone earlier and had followed somebody who has a similar sense of style. Humor.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, and Beth, you mentioned it, was Willow strategically going after Georges, which I love our little strategic queen. Like
this is she's put her on Big Brother.
I know. I'm totally obsessed with all of the little sort of secret strategies that, you know, she's articulating. Maybe other queens are thinking the same thing, but she's like very strategic about it all. And it's kind of like tickles my fancy. Mm-hmm. Okay, who have we not talked about? Are there any other thoughts for the comedy challenge? I do want to touch a little bit on the runway. And of course, we have to talk about the lip sync. But is there anything else from the comedy bit of it all?
This is just a small moment, but I did laugh when RuPaul went, bring back my girls. And they all went, girls, girls, girls. Mm-hmm. And then Ross just goes, that's my butthole. I don't know why I laughed more at that.
Take Lady Camden. Oh, I did love Deja. Our next guest needs no introduction. Yeah.
That was the best joke. And I was like, oh, honey, no.
Yeah. When she talks about, she's like, finally a joke that hits. And it's the last one.
I did appreciate that she had such great humor. Like, even in the midst of her bombing, she's like, she never, you know, acted defeated or anything like that. She kept up that spirit, and that was like really heartwarming to see. So
I thought it was cute that she'd be like, oh my god, when I host I do this joke and it's so not funny the way she explains it, and she loves it, it was so endearing, but it was also like I so connected because I can't tell you how many times I try to explain something that I think is funny or that I did that I think is funny and I get the same reaction, and I'm like, I so understand you, Deja.
I feel like she's probably funny like wherever she be hosting her gigs. I feel like she probably gets some good laughs. I don't know how much of it is because people are drunk and they're just like like I don't know, but I'm sure she does a good job wherever she works.
I think there is something about her just like super positive laughing attitude that 100% helps. Like clearly it didn't really help her here, but there's something about you want to be around people who are having a good time, and she's clearly having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's good energy.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the runway. So we've discussed this a little bit with Bosco's and Lady Camden's looks. The runway theme this week was too much. Super cute. Love that. We definitely saw a lot of different interpretations. I think I want to show, you know, Lady Camden's because I do think that this is the most beautiful. It's sort of like what when, you know, she talks about this is what I envision was like my perfect tutu. I mean, she literally did ballet.
So pretty.
Yeah, it's really, really gorgeous.
So like the what do you call it, the applique on the skin is just so gorgeous, up and down the arms and the legs, the hair just melds into her head, the makeup is there, the color palette is just so glamorous. It just reminds me of Whitney Houston's dress in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. It's just so gorgeous. Definitely my favorite one of the night.
Mm-hmm. And I love too that it's clearly a drag look. It's not a ballerina. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't come out on pointed toes, although that would have been kind of cool. She came out in heels. I think it was Michelle said this too, like her hair wasn't tight, pulled back in a ballerina style. It mm-hmm. was dragged up to be this elegant updo. Mm-hmm. I thought it was absolutely gorgeous. And just the way that she walked, how flat the tutu and straight out it was, that was dramatic in its own way. And it really allowed you to get a full sense of, I mean, the applique on her legs, and there was not a shadow to be seen on them legs. They were so, oh, it was so perfect. Yeah, I thought this was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, so I agree. Pretty. I think the other look that I definitely want to talk about is Willow's, because she had the Versace inspired with the big ass lips, mm-hmm. which it wasn't kind of until Untucked that you could see like some of the details of the look of it, like not being, you know, like super clean, but definitely for the runway, I thought it worked really well.
Yeah. Once you got that close up on her face and you could see like where she had clearly put like latex on her cheeks to make it look like she had had, you know, plastic surgery mm-hmm. done and all that. And like the lips were clearly not there. And it's just, but I thought this was a really cool look. I didn't love it to the extent the judges did, but mm-hmm. I do think it's a fantastic look. And I have learned to appreciate the unexpectedness of what she brings to everything.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I mean, I think sometimes, a lot of the time when it comes to Drag Race and some of these fashion references, I feel like I'm always like the least sort of like impressed by certain things that we should be, because I'm just like not as well versed in fashion as I'd like to be. So I think the judges responded to it a lot better than I probably would have. I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's interesting. Like, oh, look at her lips. Oh, her cheeks. Oh, that's cool. Like, that would have been like me. But I definitely understand where, you know, the point of view that she has. And shout out to Donatella Versace. She was just at the Grammys last night.
Ooh.
Yeah. She like did like a whole little bit with Dua Lipa and Megan Thee Stallion.
You sure night. It was her and not Willow?
Who knows? Maybe. I've never seen them both in the same room.
Mm-hmm. Is it Taylor Swift or Jay Jolie? We'll never know.
We'll never
That's
know.
That's all I can think of. All right. Are there any other looks we want to touch on? Angie's was the
lime green,
like tiered
sort of. I loved tutu. The color on her. I
don't know if it gave me tutu or if it just gave me ruffle.
I agree.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, I guess a tutu is nothing but a grandiose ruffle, but
maybe if the top one had hit a little higher, there was like absolutely in tutu range, yeah. And then there were like more.
Yeah, I feel like when you add more, it's no longer a tutu. It's
it's a tutu.
A 2-2-4-4-6-6.
Yeah. Georges looked like she threw a coat over a dress. Like, yes or no? Or like,
yeah.
I actually can't remember it.
All right, let me 80s, pull that up real quick.
80s prom looking thing.
Oh, yeah. With like the feathered kind of dress. Yeah, that's not a tutu, honey. That's just a skirt.
Yeah.
But she did look cool. I loved this look for her, but it just didn't fit the runway theme.
Yeah, I will miss her on the runway. That's the thing.
I know. She's so cute. I saw a video of somebody seeing her live perform in lip sync, and I mm-hmm. that's a goal of mine.
To see her perform live.
Oh, in person, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's so good. Like, there's a reason she survived four eliminations, you know?
Mm-hmm. I also, Deja, honey, stop saying that you're the lip sync assassin.
Because I know. I was like, oh, no, Deja, no.
No, honey, no.
Well, I remember when that first episode aired, we were like, I don't think you earned that title. So it's funny that it like continues to be referenced and she continues to think that it's a big deal.
But I also like Angeria being like, RuPaul said you could be.
Let me clarify the words here. Oh, man. Daya being a million feet tall.
This is y'all literally have to listen to this. And she's like, I'm coming out. And it's also like, it's so bad. It's so good though.
I need to listen. Oh my gosh. I don't know how she lip synced in those. It was really giving me, once again, that that mini challenge back in America's Next Top Model Cycle 7, where she made them wear those gigantic ass stilettos and they were like snapping their ankles left and right. I don't know how she did that.
Man.
Did she change shoes? I think she changed shoes.
Oh, did she? Okay, that makes a lot more sense. That makes a lot more sense.
I would have died if she kept it. Wait, didn't she? Didn't she fall recently from the high heels on the runway? Am I making this up?
Yeah. Because then I thought she was falling for real, but she was it her who then fell by accident? Because I thought she was going to pull a Lady Camden. And
yes.
Actually, so here are the shoes in
question. Oh, yeah.
She definitely changed her shoes.
Okay.
Deja.
She's about to fall off the stage. That
looks like she is at a bachelorette party where you wear wigs and you.
Katy Perry realness.
She really did look like it was a Katy Perry circa 2011 outfit right there. And that also was not a tutu. It was tulle.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sad we don't get the Among Us chocolate bar noise anymore now that that's done. But I mean, I'm happy it's done. Please don't bring it back. Well, let's talk about the lip sync. We're just talking about the shoes from it. So, of course, Georges, Daya, and Deja all end up in the bottom. They got Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo, which I was very impressed by. I guess I'm still like living in the world where we can't get any music because it's logo and have not fully adjusted to the concept of we can actually have topically popular songs.
Yeah.
So that was exciting.
I mean, shout out to Olivia Rodrigo. She won 2 Grammys last night. Good for her. I just don't know if this was the, I don't know. I don't know if the song wasn't the right choice or if the girls just weren't the right choice, because I feel like the lip sync was extremely underwhelming. And I just feel like none of them really captured the essence of that song. I mean, in my opinion, I just felt like, and especially that you got 3 people up there too, which divides the attention even more. I just felt like the entire thing was just kind of messy, and all of them, like, I don't really know what did Daya do specifically that made you, I don't know. It just felt, I mean, I would have been fine with just Georges going home. Like, Deja also going home to me just felt very, very strange. It just, the whole thing just wasn't, I just wasn't in alignment with it at all.
I felt like this isn't a good lip sync for your life song at the end of the day. It's a good, like, scream this song at the club or, you know, in a car kind of song. But there's not songs that you can really super perform. And I do think there's a way to perform this one, but I totally agree with you. I think when you have 3 people to a song that's already hard to lip sync to, I have to really see that you're emoting being pissed off. And I love that Daya goes, this song is about being pissed off, which is easy for me because I am. I was like, all right, I hear you. And I think genuinely this came down to, okay, they all kind of equally did the same. Let's just get rid of the 2 people who did worse than
that
challenge.
Were in the bottom. Yeah.
I would say for me, I actually don't think this is that bad of a lip sync song. I think because it brings a different like, we don't really see a lot of anger.
Yeah.
As a lip sync song. So I'm actually kind of okay with it. I think it gives enough levels, but I feel like the way that the queens performed it, it did feel very sort of like one level of just, I'm just angry versus like, I'm seething, I'm frustrated, I'm fucking pissed off. Like, that's sort of the levels that you can play with the frustration and the anger within the song. And I felt like Daya's face best captured that. So for me, that was where I felt like the win was deserved. I felt like Georges was still doing her dancing thing, but wasn't angry enough. And Deja was just too happy still.
Deja was smiling. She's the girl who's just singing it at the bar.
Yeah, at the club.
And
yeah.
That's fine.
She's
not for
a great
that
time. And I was very happy for her. But that like true anger, I felt more from Diabetti. And whether she was able to channel that, there's still some of that Jasmine frustration in there. I don't know. But that's why I actually felt okay with ultimately who ended up winning. But yeah, I mean, the choice of the double elimination just felt so freaking stupid. Like, why are you going to have so many non-eliminations? And then
I don't know. It's
frustrating to me, but
it just feels so weird that Deja ends that way. I don't know. I mean,
it feels
not like
short, right?
Is what you said. It's not like I expected Deja to like, I don't know. She could have pulled out and win. I don't know. She could have. I don't want to count her out, but I just didn't see her going out like that. It just felt so All right, Deja, bye.
I'm going to be honest. I could see that coming because they have not really given her her roses too much in the edit. It's like we don't check in with her that often. They haven't like propped her up. I feel like they've really under edited her. They didn't give her a win when she should have had one. Like there's all these different kinds of things. So it doesn't shock me that they did this. But maybe this is an unpopular decision, but I loved that RuPaul just at the last minute was like, by the way, two of you are going home. And they were all like, what? Because I love that. Don't even tell them like beforehand. Spring it on them and then really make them lip sync for their life and see who can pull it out. I thought that was great drama and good TV.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's not like I was happy that it was kind of a double elimination because I'm like, yeah, let's get us closer to the like get move us along. But it's like, okay, so you're going to put, it's more like the weight of the challenges, because if you're going to say the weight of this challenge is worth sending two queens home versus the weight of another challenge where it's like, how you perform is not really that important. We're going to save both of you. Where it's like how you perform in this roast is extremely important because two out of the seven of you are going to be sent home. Like that seems like, wait, well, like, whoa, you know, because it's not like roasting is what being a drag queen is all about, right? You're being tested on these, all of these different things.
Right.
So to put different amounts of weight on different challenges, like that's where my frustration would come from. But like, fine, so, top five. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with both of them going home.
I also wonder if they were just always going to plan for the roast to be a double elimination episode or if they were always going to plan for whoever had the chocolate bar after they got saved would be a double elimination episode.
Well, and how much of What's-Her-Face going home, getting medevaced was like a confounding variable there.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I guess we just never really know.
Yeah, right. Because I like, What's I wonder face? If it's like, if, okay.
We got her name for a second. Cornbread.
If we put the sort of these two challenges, to, so okay, let's say a double elimination goes with the chocolate, that those were always planned together. Then I would also put the everyone doing well on a challenge together with the everyone does so terribly, you all have to be in the bottom. That also then gets paired together. Mm-hmm. So then I'm trying to figure out where that extra elimination.
I just, well, ultimately, if you wanted to do a double elimination, how come it wasn't the lip sync Lollapalooza extravaganza for your nerves, the house down boots? Oh,
Well, I think it's, right? I don't know. You want one person going.
That's the one where I'm like, you know what? I'd be fine if like two people went in that episode because y'all didn't go home the week before because everyone was awful. So it would have been great if RuPaul was like, and to scare all of you, two of you were going home. It would have been like, what? And then the odd numbers could have worked out fine because the last lip sync could have been a three-person one.
Ah, where then the one person. Okay, yeah, I could see that.
That's
I don't know how you would do it though, because you need, one person would have to get skipped because you do 2-2.
It's March Madness, bracket style, baby. This is all seeds.
Figure it out. Someone smarter than me, figure it out. I don't know. Whatever. Look, it's a show. It's fine. It's all fine. It's fun. It's all in, you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We're all enjoying
it. There are worse things in the world than the fact that we got a double elimination at Final Seven.
Exactly.
And I'm not at all upset about it. I wish that Deja had had a better exit, but I also wish she just had a better edit throughout the entirety of the series. So,
Yeah, that, I mean, I'm happy you brought up worst things in the world, Beth, because we have to talk about Daya's beauty blunder because that is the worst things in the world. Did you guys see that? It did look like a toe. It looked so bad. Like I thought my beauty blender looked bad. Hers is really bad. It's like weirdly misshapen. I don't know how she got it so lumpy.
Oh, that thing. That's what I was like, what is a beauty blender?
Yeah. The sponge, like makeup sponge that looks like this, like what a normal one should look like. I mean, mine's like dirty. I need to wash it, but at least mine's not lumpy. I don't know how she got it lumpy.
Also, they're like $2. Like, I mean, throw it out and get another one.
I don't know which, if she had like the OG beauty blender.
Well, if you have the OG one, sorry. It's clearly been a while. You can
Daya, I will buy you a new one. Like for the sake of your biome on your skin, like the bacteria on your skin, you need something clean.
We need to start a GoFundMe for diabetes.
To buy Daya new beauty blunders. Oh, man. Okay. Whew. I think that does it from everything from the episode. Oh, no, actually, one more thing I want to talk about. So, Beth, you alluded to you think you have a clear vision of the top four.
Yes.
So we have a top five right now. Angeria, Bosco, Diabetti, Lady Camden, and Willow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your theory?
I feel like it would have been really so clearly. I think it's safe to say Willow, Angeria, and Lady Camden are definitely in the top. I feel like it's weird to have Bosco almost go home, then win the challenge, only to cut her at five, except for that's exactly what Drag Race does sometimes. So maybe I'm just falling into the editing trap here. And I think Diabetti will go at five, and I think it'll be a really salty reunion kind of thing. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing if I'm right about.
I absolutely see that.
Sort of tend to agree. I think we're going to lose Daya. Or possibly Bosco. If not Daya, then Bosco.
I'm trying to think.
I think if we get rid of Angeria or Willow, that would be just such a huge upset. Or maybe Lady Camden. I could see maybe Lady Camden just all of a sudden just flaming out. And then it's just like, oh, no, Lady Camden.
Yeah.
Like
Lady Camden, I think, has all the momentum right now. Bosco is like recovering. Lady Camden has the momentum. Like she has like been significantly better since halfway through the season, like where she really started to come alive. Angeria started off strong and has just kind of remained the same. And Willow has just been consistently in the top. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things where it, and Daya was poor, then safe, then good, then poor again. And so I just don't know.
Let me clarify. Eliminated.
Oh, thank you.
Then
yes.
Safe. Then okay.
That was also a great moment. She's like, I'm doing the same thing I've done since day one in this competition. I was like, go home? Like, what do you mean by that?
Okay. Well, next week is the music video.
To Catwalk, Baby, Where the World Is Your Rumpin'.
That is such a pop, though. It is. I actually really love Catwalk. Oh, you better get it.
It's growing on me for sure. And so that makes me wonder, okay, it's a music video. So I wonder if they're going to have to, I can't remember if they had to write their own or they just have to perform in it. I don't remember from the promos if they mentioned
the writing.
I would assume so, just based on history of performing in music videos. So I'm trying to think, okay, who did well in the girl group challenge when they had to sort of write their own? Didn't Diabetti do well? They're like, they praised Diabetti.
Daya did well.
Angeria did well.
Angeria also, like the talent show, they loved the song that she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them definitely.
I don't know. Like, that's what makes me wonder.
I think Lady Camden's going to do well with it. She clearly can write well recently, and she's like a dancer performer, and she did well in the musical.
Yeah.
Ooh, so is Willow going to be in the bottom?
I don't know. No, I'm nervous.
I feel like there is no way. There's a favoritism that is going to be the safety net for Willow. Like, I don't see RuPaul. Willow could crash and burn and do awful and have the, like, wear a washcloth on the runway. And, like, she'd be like, that takes bravery. You're in. Like, I don't think that I just don't see Willow going anywhere. Like, I can't envision it. And if it does happen, I won't promise eat chapstick. That's a Naman thing. But.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think we have a really strong top five. I think on paper, Diabetti seems to be the weakest, but has been able to be successful in the past. So
now I'm thinking, do the producers want, hey, the girl who was eliminated day one is in the top four? That could be an interesting
That's
story.
Drama. That would be drama.
Little plot twist. Yeah.
I just don't see how you cut Bosco after going out of your way to save her with the chocolate bar. But how do you cut Angeria? How do you cut Willow? Is it Camden that gets the cut then? Like,
is it a top five?
You just cut Bosco because Bosco was never really intended to get the chocolate bar anyway, because the ones that you would have saved it for never had to be in the bottom. Mm-hmm. So you just wasted the chocolate bar on Bosco and then just like send her out of here. She's done now.
I love that we just absolutely are not even entertaining the thought that it was a random thing that Bosco had the chocolate bar.
Like, they definitely gave it.
We know it was rigged.
We know on no evidence at all whatsoever, with no proof, that it is absolutely rigged. You're welcome.
You know, I, you know, in the event that Drag Race ever ends, like permanently, I cannot wait for the exposés and all of, like, for them to just confirm all of the rigor. No. That too. That too. I just can't wait for, like, the tell-alls and just, like, the, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I was actually, the production rigged this, that, and the third. Actually, this person was supposed to win the entire time. Yada, yada, yada. Like, I can't wait for all of that. I can't wait.
I love that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff.
It's so cathartic. I love it.
Yes, exactly. That's why I love Willem. Picking up all the skeletons. Like, Willow?
No, it's why I like Willem.
Oh.
Because Willem's like, oh, this is what happened, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, it's why I've enjoyed, I was like, I went out to dinner with Jeremy like last month or whatever. He was just like, oh yeah, and this happened, and that happened. And I was like, holy shit. So like, I'm like, spill the tea, thank you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I did, Willem is great. I would never forget listening to that. I forget it was like whatever the podcast was that he was on. And he was like, it was like when.
Race Chasers.
It might've been Race Chasers. And he was talking about how. Well, who's the person that got really sick? Was it the makeup artist that got really sick? And RuPaul like wasn't checking up on him or whatever. And I guess Willem went to go check up on him. And I guess he saw RuPaul like out in the street in LA somewhere. And he was like, yeah, like so-and-so is in the hospital right now. He would really love to see you. Like, you should go and see him. And like, apparently RuPaul was like, fuck you. And Willem was like, fuck you too. And just the roof flowers. I was like, oh my God, this is insane.
Yeah. What's his name? It begins with an M. It was like Matthew.
I think it was Matthew. Yeah. Matthew.
And he's like, he's incredible. And like, I don't know I forgot what their falling out was. Him and RuPaul.
I didn't even know that. I had no idea there was even a person that was had a falling out with RuPaul. But yeah, Willem got into it. Willem left the show and said, screw all this shit.
So, yeah.
Wait for the entire thing.
Because Raven replaced Matt. Like, that was the...
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And she took all of season 9 to figure out how to do makeup on RuPaul.
Honestly, out there.
We need the Drag Race documentary. I'm kind of shocked that there hasn't been one. That's why there's so many Drag Race like drama channels on YouTube, is because that's like sort of filling the void, because like there really isn't any other like major sort of documentation of what RuPaul's Drag Race is all about.
I'm sorry, Amon, if you're not watching Untucked, then you're only getting half of the story.
How could I forget?
Yeah, no, the Drag Race YouTubers are really like doing the best detective work to put it all together.
They really are.
For real. Okay, that does it for us. So next week, we will be back together to talk about the final 5 going into final 4, which is kind of shocking now to say. It feels like a whirlwind in these past couple weeks, but it will be the music video for Catwalk. We will see who ends up in our final 4. So, Amon, where can people find you on social media, and what are you up to?
You can follow me everywhere at Amon Adwin. Still helping RHAP cover Big Brother Canada 10. And I got my podcast with Glee, with Matt LaGuardia over at the Choir Room. And that's it for now.
All right, Beth, what about you?
You can find me at AugustaWind11 on all my social media channels. And you can also catch me on My Weekly Meltdown this week. I'm taking an ever so short break from Hot Mess Moments as Dylan and I work out all of our busy schedules.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Pui and I have been sick. So Pui and I have been both sick. Like, it was just a disaster in the household. Thankfully, we've both been COVID negative, but we're feeling better. So we recorded the Masked Singer yesterday. So that should be out soon if it's not out already. And then Mike Bloom and I got together with Mari Forth to talk about the latest season of Survivor on RHAP B&B. We did a little Avengers crossover moment, which was super cute. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend you check it out if you are a Survivor fan. If you want to help us out, you can leave star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. You can do that by going to robhasawebsite.com/dragrace. And super, super helpful. But in addition to Drag Race, I also want to put y'all on to a new podcast on the RHAP network. The aforementioned Mari Forth is hosting with Sarah Carradine Crime Scene. It is a new true crime review podcast where they get to the heart of how true crime stories are told. So this is True Crime Tuesdays, super cute. So I think they release on Tuesdays. And essentially they look at a number of different things. They look at documentary features, short series, long running episodic shows, and examine what true crime stories can tell us about ourselves. And they're also bringing on guests. So it's not just them. You also get to hear from a wonderful array of people to discuss their true crime passions, new recent releases, classics. It's got it all. Crime Scene has what you need to scratch that true crime itch. And it's Crime Scene, S-E-E-N, which I love. That's super cute branding. So it's Crime Scene. Scene. Do you get it? Because like S-E-E-N.
Oh!
Do you get it? Do you get it? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I learned from the roast that explaining the jokes really makes it like that much. If you're interested, check that out. robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed. That's feed, crime feed, okay? Because it's a feed for the crime scene.
Oh.
Feed. Don't get it twisted. Anyway, you can go to the RHCP website and check it all out. All right. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes for all of your help, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.